The fun with rules now continues with, quite frankly, the reason that I have organized this, my favorite Linux podcast. It's Linux Voice!
That's quite embarrassing.
Yeah, that sets expectation too high.
Okay, let's bring the expectation levels down a little bit by recording some silence.
You suck!
Is that enough?
We know.
Sweet. Okay, now let's make sure our mics are all in sync by saying 1, 2, 3, ciao. 1, 2, 3, ciao.
Ciao.
Marvellous. That then brings us inexorably to Series 5, Episode 11 of Linux Voice. The podcast. I'm Andrew Gregory.
I'm Ben Everard.
I'm Graham ASMR Morrison.
And that's Mike Saunders.
Yes, so in this anarchic and yet strangely regulated podcast, we have the news, neurons, and we'd like you to shout out your neurons if you have any. But before neurons, we've got fines, because I've just got the order mixed up there. And then at the end of that, there's going to be the voice of the masses. And as we have an actual mass here, we're going to ask you questions on the back of this napkin, because if it's good enough for the UK government, it's good enough for us. Laminating things are so German, so efficient. It's not how we roll. Apart from him. Right, what now?
So,
subscribe to the magazine, which isn't Linux Voice anymore. It's Linux Magazine. Yep, good. News time.
News. Before we get on with the news, one thing we'd like to say is we've never managed to get a halfway reminder at halfway in all the years we've been doing this. So can someone alert us in 22 minutes and 30 seconds time that we are halfway through the podcast?
Actually, we're already 5 minutes in, Ben, so that's already...
Don't worry, we have a German here. He shall tell us.
Right, let's get on with the news. With a format that literally nobody has asked to be returned, I'll get on with the linked list of news. And first on the linked list of news is Debian 9 Stretch has been released. And this is dedicated to Ian Murdoch, which I'm sure many of you are aware passed away on the 28th of December 2015. And I know we sort of all come to here and laugh and joke, and there's many things to go into. I don't want to get into all of it, but can we all just give a round of applause to Ian Murdoch for his services to Linux? Okay, so the main features of the new Debian is MySQL is now MariaDB. Firefox and Thunderbirds are back. They are no longer Ice Weasel and whatever Thunderbird was.
Thundercat.
Thundercat, that's really good.
Yeah. So obviously, if you're interested in Debian, you'll need a way of downloading it. And wouldn't it be nice if there was a way of download tool optimized for particular distro images? Which brings us on quite swiftly to Leonard Pottering's new tool.
If who in British politics would Leonard be, do you think? I mean, just as a random question.
Michael Gove.
He has got more skill than Michael Gove. Peter Mendelssohn maybe. I don't know. George Osborne?
Let's save this section for later.
No, let's just turn this into a political podcast. Let's do it now rather than prolong the pain.
I'm just going to move swiftly back to Linux if I can.
So, let's talk about systemd.
Right, so obviously now systemd is all conquering and...
Am I going to leave Europe?
And Pulse Audio.
Brexit means Brexit.
Is it a red, white, and blue, says admin? System D, rather.
It's actually a red, white, and blue R-Sync that he's come out with. And this is K-Sync or C-A-Sync. I've absolutely no idea how he intends it to be pronounced, but I'm not going to let that stop me talking about it. There we go, C-A-Sync. So this is basically, it's a tool primarily for distributing images like ISOs and VM images, that sort of thing, kind of like Docker downloady, buildy thing, IoT flashes.
Sounds like the Brussels of backup.
I'd go for Strasbourg myself. But
It's not backup though, is it? It actually is for helping people download images.
Yeah.
For their weird cloudy stuff.
Yeah, exactly that. It's,
why is he interested in this?
Because everything else kind of sucks for it. So you can download an ISO or you can download a torrent, exactly. But it comes down in one big blob.
Yeah.
It breaks it up in a nice way. So if one bit changes, you don't have to download the whole what's it again. You can.
So does this work at the file system level? Is it the way that it's breaking up how files are stored on whatever the storage medium is?
It kind of works at a black magic level.
Yeah. A bit like Parliament.
Pretty. It's kind of like Parliament, right? In that it downloads in blobs. So sometimes that blob might be the Conservative Party.
Yeah.
Sometimes that blob might be the Conservative Party and the DUP.
Nobody's mentioned Pulse Audio.
And sometimes it might be most of the Conservative Party, but also the backbenchers want to support something else. So it allows you to sort of split things up however you like and map those onto the file system in different ways.
Okay, so it's like first line whip.
Pretty much, yeah. You can define the whip at which you want to download.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
I get it now. I understand.
So it's the Malcolm Tucker of download tools. If that makes sense to anyone, because it doesn't to me. No. It does loads of awesome things, and allowing you to download images really efficiently, and allow you to sort of split them up, not having to download the whole lot every time. But one thing it doesn't do at the moment is encryption. And this is one thing they have said that they want to introduce, and they're going to do this through GPG. Now, speaking of GPG...
Has it been banned by Amber Rudd?
She's only politely requested that they stop using it at the moment.
But only for patriots?
Yeah.
Saboteurs were all right.
Okay. So, GPG. They need your help, and not just because Amber Rudd's up against them. They also need finances to, employ people, do code, that sort of thing.
This is actually a shocking insight into the world of absolutely essential free software infrastructure, that until, what was it, 2 or 3 years ago, there was only one fellow working on it full time, and he had to get like a Saturday job to fund his development on PGP.
Well, prior to up to 2014, there were two people doing it, but the one guy had to be laid off because they literally had no money to pay him, and the other guy was pretty much about to just jack it in because there was no money. It was one of those things that everyone used, but no one actually paid money for it. And GPG, a lot of you may know, is sort of email encryption software, but actually there's a huge amount more than this. Most of your like package manager downloads and what's-its are all encrypted with this sort of stuff. There's loads of absolutely really critical things at an infrastructure level that's completely boring and absolutely essential at the same time. And they have very little money for doing this. So they're getting some from various sources, and they need some more. So they're running a crowdfunding campaign.
Nothing good ever comes of a crowdfunding campaign.
This is true, actually.
I'm pretty sure I can get them through 3 years. I made myself sad.
Beep, hey, my keyboard I.O. may finally be on its way.
There's a whole load of stuff that they want to do with this money. One of them is obviously the standard maintenance. One of them is the GNUC. I've no idea how you pronounce stuff with a G in front of it. I'm going to pronounce the G because it's there. The GNUC security token. They want to increase the ecosystem, and they want to write a book about how to actually use it because it's mind-bogglingly complex. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who's hugely confused by it.
We don't need experts telling us what to do.
This was very nearly a non-political podcast. up until 2 pints, this was a non-political podcast. Are we now on 4?
It depends on which persona.
I don't
express
know, look at my guns. Look at my Ubuntu gun.
Yes.
No one's asked Mike, because Mike, who cares what Mike has to say when we've got Effie.
Hey!
So news.
So GPG, they're doing a load of awesome stuff, one of which is a book. Thing about books is, obviously we always use ebooks these days, we're all nice modern people. You need a way of viewing your ebook. Now, Calibre, the famous Linux.
Oh, that was good.
Seamless.
Yeah. Isn't it Calibre?
All right, Calibre.
There we go.
There we go.
The people have spoken.
The people, the masses.
I've got to change that little voice in my head now.
Me too.
Calibre.
That's actually the truth. No, that's actually what I hear when I see it.
So Calibre, they've just hit version 3.0. Obviously a major milestone for quite an important bit of free software. Can we have a round of applause for Calibre?
What does it do, Ben? What does it do?
What does it do? Why am I excited?
Hang on, I've got to turn the page for that.
Oh, we used it for years through sweat and tears creating the EPUBs with Calibre.
Yeah, that was a horrible experience, to be honest. It's really not designed for creating digital magazines. Don't use it for that. But I'll just blank that memory out of my head for a minute. And the major feature of Calibre 3.0 is a sort of like an online store type thing, so you can run it as a server. It hosts all your ebooks and magazines if you've managed to persuade someone to break their hands creating their magazines. And so you can download them onto all your devices. You can run it obviously on your home network, so you can access your devices from home. You can run it on a server and access your ebooks from anywhere. You can do all this stuff, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's good. It's really good. I mean, it does. I think there are some real UI issues with Calibre. It does so much. I mean, it's got a really comprehensive ebook editor, you know, that allows you to edit the HTML with real-time previews, while at the same time it attempts to manage your ebooks. You know, they should pull that stuff out of it, because the plugin system that talks to your Kindle is actually really useful. It's what a lot of us use to break the proprietary system on Amazon's Kindle. But they should make more of that. It's complicated.
Absolutely everything in it is fantastic, other than its ability to do magazine style layouts.
Yeah, it is. It's a great horrible application. It's great. I just think that it's too overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's too comprehensive.
And obviously it's not just a web-based thing, you know, you've got a desktop app. You're gonna like this link. This is the best link.
Just to Theresa May.
No. So obviously I've got a desktop client, which is it's a Qt desktop client, so it looks best on Qt desktops. Such as KDE. Speaking of KDE.
Oh, wow. No, this is good. I've only just realised what's happening.
So the Neon project now includes Wayland in their default image. There's still X as well, but there's Wayland there, so you can use it if you so choose.
What's Wayland, Ben?
It's a picture thing. It does the images on the screeny thing that you can click
so
on.
So it replaces X11 or Xorg?
Yeah, basically. I'm sure there's people who know far more about me, but basically it's a graphics thingy that make computer thingy look good. That's a technical description of it.
I genuinely can't hear the word Wayland without adding Yutani to the end of it.
Can you run it on an Amiga?
Well, no. But as you've asked, you can actually run Qt on an Amiga if you've got OS 4.
Does that mean you can run KDE, Plasma?
You probably could, but you'd be waiting until next week for it to load.
You wouldn't want to.
No, yeah. That's a whole new podcast. Loading the CSS for the average website on an Amiga is... Well, it's actually, I think I'm becoming a Buddhist from using the Amiga, because you learn about the importance of time. And this is the news section.
We've reached the end of the linked list of news.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's it. That's our linked list of news, finito.
That brings us on to the discoveries.
So I did ask the IRC channel. The thing is, I've got to get my phone out, find unlock my phone.
Well, you're doing that. I asked Twitter as well, and about any fines, because I'm all modern and whatnot.
IRC is where it's at.
If you're on an Amiga. And I did get a fine from Twitter, and the fine was that the Ubuntu podcast cards are good for podcast notes. That's courtesy of This Geek Tweets. Thanks, This Geek Tweets. Cheers, and thanks to Ubuntu podcast.
Skills.
So McPhail on IRC says the pawn, which was... That sounds bad in words, doesn't it? That's P-A-W-N, and it's an old text adventure game by a company called Magnetic Scrolls from the 80s. They're selling it, and you can get the Amiga version. I happen to know that because this is actually how we do it. I look at my phone, and it's really difficult to try and read through things. My other find is The Guardian's GitHub page for their website. It looks as if some bits are in private repos, but there might be some stuff of interest to a technology-oriented journalist. So that's that.
Do we know any technology-oriented journalists?
Not anymore.
No.
Can I interrupt you while you look through your phone?
It's okay. I'm not going to do anything while you talk to us.
Okay. So this time last year, well, it was August, but anyway, I said I had discovered that if you invite a load of Linux geeks to a pub in London, you have a bloody good time. And I've discovered that if you do it twice, you have a bloody good time again. So thank you, everyone, for coming.
Excellent.
Thanks, sir.
If you could edit that out and put it in the neuron section, well, that'd be sweet.
I'm going to ignore the IRC challenge. It's just too difficult. So I have some finds. I'm going to do it because I've got the mic. My first find is RSpamD, which I've talked about before as a replacement. Yeah.
It's you just said this is a
RSpamD. It's a replacement for Spam Assassin, and it's really good. Version 1.6.0 has just been released. Uses far fewer resources, Andrew, which, if you know, for our conservative government, that might be important. The next one, this is good. Now, I feel a bit ignorant about this because I think it's been around for a while. FZF. It's an interactive fuzzy search for bash. And ZSH, although I think Ben said it differently.
Zeesh.
What?
I know.
I've never heard that.
Have I just made that up?
Hang on.
Yes.
Right, Ben says Zeesh. Ben also doesn't like Breaking Bad because it's too slow. He prefers The Expendables.
Yes, this man knows what's going on.
So... this Linux stuff, I know it's not that interesting. No, FZF is an interactive fuzzy search for the command line and for Vim and other things, and it's really cool. You should
try it. Hang on. So the thing, oh my Zeesh, you call it oh my ZSH.
I actually don't know what you're talking about.
No one else has heard it's oh my Zeesh.
Oh my... What is it?
It's
what
a load of aliases and whatnot for Zeesh that makes it easier to use.
Look, no. Ben, this sounds very much like another B3 FS situation.
Ben's B3 FS. Yes.
And then my final find. Also, you should do FZF. It's really good. Like, you type stuff in. You press Control and T or Control and R or whatever, and FZF actually does a fuzzy search of your entire file system. Oh God, is that a time?
There's a light, and my German friend Dirk says this is the halfway reminder.
Well, let's rush through. So that's a really good. Try it. My other thing, you might know this, but the origins. So I've been listening to the History of English podcast. This isn't in it, but I learned that the fascinus is the origin of the word fascinate. It's a Latin Roman term.
It sounds like fascia or fascism, like, well, a collection, like a bundle.
It's actually the divine phallus. So this is the origin of the word fascinate. The divine phallus was used to ward off evil, the evil eye of the divine phallus. This is why you see graffiti in Pompeii. It's used to like scare off evil forces, evil conservative forces. So anyway, that was my final find.
Wonderful. My find isn't really a find, but in a mere 2.5 weeks, I'm going to be recording an episode of Mastermind. There's the specialist subject round about the novels of George Orwell, and then I go and sit down and shake my head at how poorly I've scored, and then I sit back down on the chair again, and then angry fella Martin Humphreys says, "So, Andrew, why George Orwell?" And I make a little 30-second speech about newspeak and fake news and other things which you will inform me of and come up to me and give me ideas and make me look cleverer on telly than I actually am. Now it's time for the halfway reminder. It's going to be the halfway...
Hold on, Ben's got to do his fine.
God, really, Ben, get on with it.
My finds were going to be a load of George Orwell stuff to test you with, but I couldn't be bothered to actually read any George Orwell books. Hey. So they're not.
Ministry of Truth.
I feel like a fool. I actually wrote a find about Linux stuff and stuff I've been doing.
Well, I
Linux.
Tried that, but it obviously doesn't work.
1949.
So I'm going to ignore the Linux stuff because we're running out of time. But there's a way
Old
of
major.
There's a way of playing Tetris using Traceroute. I don't know if anyone's come across this. This is trh.milk, some M-I-L-E-K.
He was 7. A policeman in Burma in the Indian colonial police.
Right, so if you write trh.policemaninburmaintheindianpolice.pl, no, it's M-I-L-E-K-7.pl.
Okay,
And then that will, the trace route will show you a game of Tetris. And then you can append W-A-S-E... SAD to the subdomain, and it will rotate, move left, move right, or drop the game of Tetris depending on what you appended to the subdomain.
Wonder why I've never discovered that for myself.
You should have googled Amiga War Dialers a bit better and you might have found out. And my final find has absolutely nothing to do with Linux whatsoever, but I was persuaded to put this in by Graham, and that is that the avocado fruit would have died out if it wasn't for humans, because the only animal that had an anus large enough to pass the fruit, pass the stone, is now extinct. It was the giant sloth.
I think that's brilliant.
Viva Mexico, everybody.
It is now actually halfway, isn't it? Which traditionally is 3/4 of the way through, and it's time for our neurons.
Yes, neurons. So, Joe, have you got any neurons?
Don't look at me.
No, actually, we thought that if anybody wanted to ask any questions to the three of us.
So what's your opinion of web development? By the fact that it comes to you as source code, where does that stand in sort of open source for you guys? Like, does it count as open source because you get the source coming to your computer in the first place? And most people don't actually bother to apply a license to it. What's kind of your thoughts on that?
No, I think it's a good question, and I think something we've touched on quite a few times, especially if you consider like the internet to be the operating system that we all use now. A lot of it is closed source. A lot of what everybody does is in the realm of closed source. And I really am a pragmatist, and I want things to improve for as many people as possible with the small pragmatic steps. I find it very difficult to think of a solution for Facebook or for Google or for the Google apps or websites in general. I think I don't have an answer for you. I think it's the equivalent of the problem that we had with Windows and people using Internet Explorer and banks only doing their interfaces for IE back in the day. And I don't know what the solution is, because there isn't the momentum to make people change. And it was interesting, the discussion that the Luddites were having earlier on about how
Linux.
Sorry, I looked at your T-shirt, Joe. I don't think you can persuade Adobe, and I don't think you can persuade Google. Google understands open source; it does actually a very good job of using it as part of its brand. And I think we're fighting a losing battle because we aren't, it isn't, what it is that people find attractive in open source isn't the same thing as what we think is attractive in open source. And we can't do it by evangelizing like an old political party. We need to find some kind of grassroots movement in young people that kind of support what it is that we're trying to do and try and bring it up like that, maybe.
I thought there might be a business model in open source, and not the entire creative suite, but just Photoshop, because there are that many online free as in beer alternatives like Pixlr, like GIMP, like your image editing software in Instagram, that the kids are learning that you don't need to pay for an image editor. So why not make that image editor free, and then that'll be your loss leader, and that will crowd out the competitor. And then once they've downloaded Photoshop for free and learned how to use it, they've then learned the interface for the more expensive stuff, for InDesign. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to photography is a mass market. Everybody takes photographs now. Not many people make films now. So that's your premium product. And once you've learned the interface of Photoshop, then people spend the money on the software to make films because they're expensive, and the software to make magazines because publishers are rich. That's how I'd do it. But
I don't think it's going to work. I really don't think it's going to work. I don't think anything's going to work. I think this is... I really think this is a huge challenge.
Patriotism, Graham.
I don't necessarily think it's a big problem. It's just the way that software is now being developed. It is a problem in terms of my personal beliefs, but I don't know if it's... I'm just like a minion. 1 billionth of a billionth. You know, what I want is for society to choose the right direction, and I want to try and influence it in the best possible way that I can. And I think proprietary software running on websites is a very difficult kind of discussion to win. We can't even engage people over what Linux is, over whether Adobe should be releasing software for Linux.
GNU in fact, Linux.
The market moves itself, you know, such as Valve, you know, porting all of its stuff to Linux. And, you know, it's doing that simply as a gambler would, or as a stock market agent would. It's simply hedging its bets. And that's all Linux has become, I think.
Stallman
was right, but Stallman was right in many, many things. But it doesn't mean that Stallman's idea gets enough momentum to be effective to change the way people live. That's how I feel. I want people to change.
Code clubs around the UK are doing a very good job, because people are learning since the age of 8 or 9 that code can be shared on an online platform for free with their pals. Yeah. And that's very good. I mean, I don't like the all, you know, excitement around the Raspberry Pi, but what they are doing with the code club is a very good thing. Yeah. And it's something that's not everywhere. So that's a good hope we have. I mean, just teaching people age of 8 or 9 that can share their Sketch scripts, or they can share their Python scripts with their pals all around the country for free, and putting them under free license is a very good opportunity we have. Why don't we go and teach these damn code clubs ourselves? We should.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I completely agree. I couldn't agree more. And that's what open source is. It's sharing your code, and that's what Code Club does. And absolutely, we should embrace it.
It's actually human nature to share things. You know, when man invented fire, okay, he didn't keep it all to himself. You know, he shared it with other people. The whole point about, you know, knowledge, okay, right, is it's free to pass on to other generations and other people. So in some respects, okay, right, you know, free software, okay, right, is part of that. The tradition of sharing things, be it stories, be it tales, be it everything else, okay, right, is one of those things that is inherent to human nature. The whole idea of proprietary software, okay, is actually adverse to human nature. And so this way it sprouts up in the most incredible ways. If you think about things like fashion, for example, okay, right, fashion has built this entire ecosystem, okay, right, and being able to share ideas and be able to copy ideas and be able to freely express these ideas among people, rather than actually locking down, okay, right, ideas, okay, right, like software does.
Oh, should we leave that as the final note that neurons?
Oh, sorry, you had a neuron. Let's get let's have one final quick neuron.
Yeah, this should be an easy one. So in George Orwell's novel, Keep the Aspidistra Flying, what's the name of the advertising company that Gordon Comstock leaves?
The New Albion.
Correct.
Bravo.
Thank you, gracias and willkommen. Or danke, somewhere. It's time for the voice of the masses. Right, we're going to make this very, very quick.
We've got a few minutes.
It's a dual zero or a one binary choice here. We want to hear, we would say show of hands, but that doesn't translate well sonically. So let's have a cheer. Four, first of all, no more KDE. Gnome? KDE.
KDE wins it.
BSD or GPL? BSD? GPL.
GPL wins it.
Laptop or desktop? Laptop? Desktop.
Draw. I don't know why I'm the judge, I'm just doing it.
Arch or Ubuntu? Arch? Ubuntu?
I'm going to give it to Arch.
Okay.
What about Gentoo?
Who would have thought it? This is democracy.
48%
democracy.
The people have spoken.
Be a
people
patriot. Spoken.
82% of people voted for an arch supporting party. Amiga or Atari? Amiga? Hooray! Atari.
Atari gets it.
Init D or System D? Init D?
Yeah!
System D?
Yeah!
System D gets it.
Herd! Herd! Or Linux? Herd? Linux?
Linux wings for now. Herd will rise again.
Our next glorious leader, Boris or Gove? Boris?
I think that's the correct response.
Gove.
Yeah!
I can't bring myself to say Gove wins, so they both lose.
Hang on. Yeah. Corbyn?
Yeah! We've got that down here. Corbyn or Vim? Corbyn? Vim.
Vim. Our next Prime Minister is Vim.
Vim apparently. What now?
That can't exit either.
Oh, here we go.
We're being upstaged on our own podcast.
Biscuits or Brexit? Biscuits? Brexit.
Yeah. Does that mean the Ubuntu podcast is taking us out of the European Union?
Splitters. Pulse Audio or ALSA? Pulse Audio.
Yay!
ALSA.
Yay!
Yeah. All right.
That's one for Leonard Potter.
Devil's advocate there,
what now? Vim Corbyn, we've done that. Cheers, Joe. Stallman or Torvalds? Stallman.
Yay!
Torvalds.
Yay!
The penguin wins it.
Yeah. How much longer do we have to go?
We actually have a few minutes.
Okay, cool. So how about Linux voice or bad voltage?
Let me get my mute button ready.
Linux voice.
Yay!
That what's that say? bad voltage.
Yay!
Wonderful.
I'll
right. That's it. We now come to the end of our negotiating demands. It's only day one of talks, and we still have another 18 months to negotiate to negotiate a successful podcast. I'm sure everything will go swimmingly.
C'est tout.
Oui.
So
Linux voice, everybody! Yay!